This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MP on the mic. What's up, Richmond? It's a Thursday morning. It's 10 o'clock. It's a big day in the world of sports and local sports and programming right here. Let's just run through it real quick because I want to get to the Commanders. In the opening segment, they did some things yesterday, and they didn't do some things yesterday, and I have thoughts about both of those things. First off, we have Nitro Cross tickets. We're going to give them away today. Nitro Cross is coming to Richmond Raceway, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, and you can be there if you keep listening to this program. High school football kicks off tonight. Let's lead with that. Highland Springs in Manchester, 11:40. WRVA, Gary and Coach Chris have the call for you. Weather permitting, looks like it might be a little nasty out there tonight. We'll see. Hopefully they get the season kicked off. Great matchup to start year 31 of high school football on 910 The Fan. This one on WRVA for reasons I'm about to share. Normally, they get bumped by the Flying Squirrels this time of year, but we're bumping the Flying Squirrels tonight. At 7 o'clock, you'll hear the inaugural Tech Talk Live of the football season. Brent Pry is the guest. I'm told that is a good get for them, a guest of some note. He's the head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies, Zach Mackey and Mike Burnup, with an hour of Hokie sports conversation tonight at 7 o'clock. That's not all. Mike Burnup's joining the program in exactly 1 hour. 11 o'clock for Mike Burnup. We'll talk all things Tech. Get you ready. We're now 50 hours away from kickoff of the Virginia Tech football season out there in Nashville, taking on Vandy. Tech Talk Live tonight at 7. When that's over, we'll join the Squirrels in progress. Nothing much to see out there in Erie, where they've lost their first two. They're out of playoff contention. We'll run out the clock. We'll get them back at the diamond next week. One final homestand, one final week of giveaways, one final week of fireworks. College football tonight, of course, Deion Sanders leads the charge. Colorado takes on North Dakota State. We'll dive into that because that's a sneaky good matchup. For those of you who aren't familiar with FCS football, the Dakotas are always a force. This has upset potential if Colorado's not ready to come play. At 11:15 today, our guy Lane Casadante joins the show. And, of course, we love having Lane on to talk all things high school football, and we can throw anything else at him as well. The Richmond Kickers also play tonight, which I say because they are debuting their new video board at City Stadium. I saw the picture. I think you saw the picture, Hazel. I think we both had the same initial reaction.
It's huge.
That thing's big. That's a big video board.
It's huge.
Big honking TV out there at City Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go play video games on that when they're not playing soccer.
I know. They need to play movies so everyone can sit on the pitch.
I think that's the plan.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the long-term plan there. And, you know, soccer watch parties and World Cups and things like that.
I like it.
Kickers debut their new video board tonight at City Stadium. Congrats to them. The Commanders just made it official. They signed, they signed wide receiver Noah Brown. We've had that this week. The voice hasn't been holding up this week. That's A-Wad's got problems. I got problems.
Y'all were yelling too much at football fest.
Yeah, have a football fest. These things happen.
Too much fun.
Chasing the pinata.
Chasing the pinata.
I took candy out of the pinata. I'm not too proud to admit that. After it was exploded and after the kids. Yeah, there were like four or five kids there and like 300 pieces of candy in the pinata. So I did the right thing. I'm an adult. I'm 39 years old. Talk to me. I'm a man. The pinata gets exploded. The kids sweep in. They grab all they can hold in their little hands, you know, do the shirt trick, you know, get some more in. They move along. I went in and helped myself to it.
Then
a
you swoop
bar.
In.
Yeah,
that's
myself.
Respectful.
They had Hershey bars in there, you know. Awad went with name brand.
Yeah.
Awad's, you know, the Halloween guy who name brand candies only.
Hitting his house this year.
That's official Halloween. We're all going to Awad's apartment to trick or treat this year. Hope he enjoys that. Commanders just made it official. They've signed wide receiver Noah Brown from the Houston Texans. Now, he was not subject to the waivers as a veteran player. So that's a negotiation, not a claim. Yesterday was a weird day. Y'all know I ride with this crew. I'm good with what Adam Peters does. I said, go find the best general manager out there, best young talent. Bring him here. Let him cook. Adam Peters is here. He's in the kitchen. There's a funny smell coming from the kitchen, but I'm choosing to say I trust the chef. He's going to bring a nice dish out eventually. So, second worst team in football, got the second overall draft pick. That meant that after cut day, everybody's allowed to claim the players who get cut. Everybody puts in a list with the NFL of who they want, and Carolina gets to go first as the worst team, whoever they want they get. The Commanders then get to go second, whoever they want that Carolina didn't put in a claim for. And then New England goes third. Carolina grabbed five players who play for other teams, which makes sense. The good teams are pretty loaded. They're going to cut good players. The Patriots claimed four players yesterday when other teams made their cuts, and we'll talk about their quarterback situation in a bit. The Commanders made zero claims for players on other teams. I trust Adam Peters. I got to. I have no choice. But there's a funny smell in the kitchen. There's room to upgrade here. I've seen the roster. It sure feels like there's room to upgrade. I don't know. And they shared that they, you know, a lot goes into team building, and they like the chemistry, and they like developing the young guys. I still, when I saw that, I was like, are we sure? We went shopping, 31 stores at the mall. We didn't see anything we liked. Came home empty-handed. I don't know. I don't love it. But I trust our guy, Adam Peters, knows what he's doing. You have to. That's how this works. You get a good general manager. You let him do his thing. His thing was no claims yesterday for the Washington Commanders. For the first time in 4 years, the Commanders had players claimed by other teams. Tariq Castro-Fields, the corner, was claimed by Carolina, part of their five. K.J. Henry, there's your surprise. They cut K.J. Henry, get him to the practice squad. He got snapped up, so they won't have K.J. Henry on the practice squad. Now, they also traded John Ridgeway yesterday. We had told you that because they had put out there, hey, we're looking to trade John Ridgeway. And then they didn't trade him, but then they also didn't cut him, which meant that they thought there was value there. Here's what they got for John Ridgeway, who once suplexed a guy. That's my John Ridgeway fact. I will love that highlight till the day I die. You put that on any highlight reel, I'm getting pumped up for football. John Ridgeway is going to the New Orleans Saints. The Commanders are getting the sixth round pick next year from the Saints, but the Saints are also getting the seventh round pick from the Commanders. So a six for a seventh pick swap. As we say, that's better than nothing. Mr. Second Guesser here, smelling the scent from the kitchen, says, that's great you turned a seventh round pick into a sixth round pick, but you could have kept K.J. Henry at that roster spot and just sent John Ridgeway packing yesterday, and the Saints could have claimed him. We all could have moved on with our life. I trust him. I trust Adam Peters. You have to. He's good at what he does, and he's not in a one-year situation. This isn't a playoff team this year. This could be next year. And I think a lot of what they need to do is establish that this is a fun place to be. This is a place on the rise, because that's how you get the free agents next year. They skipped on a lot of free agents this year because they still have to overpay to get guys to come to Washington. If Jaden Daniels lights it up, if he has a great season, you don't have to anymore. Now all of a sudden, guys want to come here. Guys want to play here. I'm thinking of one guy in particular who plays wide receiver for San Francisco. That market's gone crazy because CeeDee Lamb got paid. I don't know. Everybody's got to be mad at Jerry Jones among the owners. We got this deal. Guys hold out. We wait them out, make them play on their contracts, and then Jerry caves. What's Jerry doing caving? I don't know. But Brandon Ayuk's now more empowered than he's been. He's ready to get out of there. He's still not practicing. Niners still aren't caving. They can't pay Trent Williams till they get Brandon Ayuk situated, because you give Trent Williams money and now Brandon Ayuk loses his mind over that. Can't do it. It still makes zero sense to me on paper to trade that guy. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. Draft picks don't win Super Bowls. Draft picks win future Super Bowls. Little number musical chairs yesterday. So Mike Sanristil, the rookie corner, and Diami Brown, the wide receiver, had both been wearing number 2 during the preseason. That's allowed in the preseason as long as they're not on the field at the same time. That's not allowed in the regular season. Everybody's got to pick a number. Diami keeps the 2. Sanristil is going to be number 0. That's a new NFL rule that 0 is allowed. He'll be the first player to wear it in more than 50 years for the franchise. Marcus Mariota had rocked to the 0 all preseason. He's going to switch to 18. He was 8 back when he was a starter, but 8 is B-Rob. B-Rob's not giving up his number. He's got tenure. That's where musical chairs ends right there, with Marcus Mariota having to drop the 1 in front of the 8. We got it solved. Everybody's got a number. Everybody happy. I want to get into the Browns situation, too. We'll do National NFL here in a bit. Deshaun Watson got his contract restructured, and these numbers are just bonkers insane. What they're doing to the future salary caps. You heard Sean McVay, I think, is most famous for saying the cap doesn't matter. It's not real, right? You can always just kick things to the future. They are stretching this to the extreme, and I want to get into that, and we'll do that in about half an hour. First, though, we got to do our daily baseball, because Dylan Cruz went yard for the Washington Nationals last night. He is the rookie to watch, and the Nationals are hanging with the New York Yankees. Orioles fans can give their friends with the Nationals a big thanks for that. We'll play those clips. We'll dive into college football 2 days away from the Hokies. We'll give you the reminder. High school football starts tonight on 1140 WRVA. We got a lot to get to. We're glad you're along for the ride. It's a Thursday morning. It's a game day morning. You're listening to 910
on the
mic.
Let's start hour number 2. It's a game day, a game weekend, a game long weekend.
Half the kids are in school. Half the kids aren't in school. Nobody knows who's in school when anymore. That's all right. We're here. We'll be talking to you today. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. We'll take Monday. It feels right. We'll be back Tuesday, ready to go, recapping a busy weekend in the world of college football. Programming note, tonight you will not hear Flying Squirrels Baseball until 8 o'clock. We'll join it in progress. That's because Tech Talk Live is back. Special guest Brent Pry joining the program from Blacksburg. You won't hear high school football here tonight. That'll be on 1140 WRVA. First night of high school football, always traditionally the Thursday before Labor Day. We'll move that to the mothership, WRVA. Now that you're squared away on that, let's talk Tech football with our guy, Mike Burnup, down in Blacksburg. He'll be at McLean's tonight for Tech Talk Live. I don't know. And Mike, welcome aboard. Welcome to MP on the Mic. This is our first time having you. I'm excited.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Good to be on with you.
Absolutely. I can't remember a season in recent memory where there's been as much hype, excitement, anticipation as this one. It seems people are really fired up for Hokie football right now.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, I think if you go back to when Justin Fuente was here, when that first year he won 10 games, and competed for the ACC championship and all that. I think the next year, you know, after winning those 10 games, there was a lot of hype around it, but they only won 9. But I think when you really go back, you got to go back to those early years when Coach Beamer was doing so well, winning 10 games a season, like 2005 and those years, when they were ranked in the top 10 to start the season. A lot of hype around those teams, but it's been a while. I ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We'll start it off in Nashville on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's an exciting trip for you. That's a good pull for the broadcast team.
Yeah, you know, having an SEC team on the road, it's going to be kind of fun. I know Vanderbilt Stadium is still having some construction work done there, but not the biggest stadium in the SEC by any means, but it should be fun. It's a great city. We haven't been there since the Music City Bowl. Back in the day when we played Alabama, I think it was in 1998. What a great city, and I know our fans have bought into it, and it could be a predominantly Hokie crowd there.
I think so. I think the Hokie fans love a good road trip. We got the long holiday weekend. Great place to be. Going to be a fun game. We heard from Brent Pry on Tuesday when he gave his press conference, and he said what I think a lot of people are thinking. They're favored in this game, but there's a lot of unknowns. You got a transfer quarterback, Diego Pavia, who is very much has experience beating power conference teams. There's a lot they need to be on guard for this weekend.
Well, that's it. I mean, in this day and time, you know, the crazy thing is when the transfer portal, you just never know what you're going to run into. Could be a buzzsaw. I mean, they got 51 new players on their roster. Think about that. 51 players. There are only 85 guys on scholarship. And they got 51 new dudes on the team. Plus, they got new coaches. They got new coordinators. I mean, Coach Lee, the head coach, is going to be the defensive coordinator. Tim Beck was the one that came over. You know, he coached Diago at New Mexico State. And you got, you know, guys like that that are with him, too. And it's just a totally new staff for them and new players. So you don't really know what you're going to run into. So you got to be able to adjust, and you know, sometimes it's better to play teams after a week or two, but these opening games, man, opening weekends, you just never know what you can run into.
Survive in advance, as they say, and the Hokies will look to do that, of course. Mike Burnham will be on the call from Nashville. We'll look forward to that. Tech Talk Live debuts tonight. You want to give us second one, but with Coach Brent Pry in attendance, what kinds of things are you looking forward to talking with Coach about tonight?
Well, to touch base with him this morning, and we're going to touch on the roster, the two deep, you know, a couple changes in the offensive line. You know, a kid, Laith Ganim, it's a redshirt freshman. He's going to end up starting at left guard. And so we're going to talk about some of the stuff on the depth chart, some of the versatility of the guys on defense, and, you know, who had really good camps. We're going to talk about the new coaches, the Vanderbilt ties. You know, Chris Marv was a player there at Vanderbilt. Coach Pry coached at Vanderbilt. So there's some ties to the staff there. You know, Jerry Kill, the special assistant to the head coach, Clark Lee, he was at Virginia Tech under Justin Fuente. I remember him well. He's a character. So just little stuff like that we'll touch on. And the first road trip, you know, anytime you go on the road for the opening game, it's a challenge. Some of these kids have never done that before. You know, the younger guys on the team. And so that'll be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, dealing with the heat and humidity, they've obviously, that's not something that you do right away. You've had to plan for that the whole time with hydration and whatnot. So, yeah, that'll be kind of some of the topics tonight.
It'd be a toasty one out there in Nashville on Saturday. And certainly excited to see how this team comes together. I think big picture for the Hokies this year, you know, what everybody keeps coming back to is the continuity. You mentioned the transfer portal, all the things that change. How was it that this group was able to keep it relatively intact at a time when that's really hard to do?
Yeah, unheard of. I mean, what Brent Pry was able to do with these guys is really amazing. I mean, when you think about, they started out last year 1-3, finished up the last seven games at 5-2. You know, Kyron Drones got them rolling. You know, they rolled UVA. They had a great bowl win. And so I think these guys kind of bought into the fact that, hey, you know, we got a chance to be really good next year if we all come back. And I think the wide receiver room kind of set the tone for that. Those guys are really, really close. They've been together, and they wanted to come back and show that they could compete for a championship. The entire offensive line is back from a year ago. You know, you got 20, 22 starters back. Both kickers are back. I mean, this team has got a chance to be really good. Now, you got to go up and show up and play 12 Saturdays, right? or Thursdays or Fridays or whatever it is. You got to be at your best because there'll be a target on your back. But they got enough talent to get the job done if they just continue to play well and keep their head.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going straight.
It all starts in about 49 hours down there in Nashville. Mike Burnup will be there. Celebrated your 500th consecutive game last year. Congrats on the milestone. And you've seen a few things along the way. What gets you excited here as you get ready for this season?
Just the anticipation of it. You know, Brent Pry's in his third year, and you know, I think he kind of cut his teeth here under Bud Foster and Frank Beamer in 1995, 6, and 7, when they had those great teams back for the Sugar Bowl championship in 95. You know, he was part of that. And then he goes off to be on his own, and I think he was the perfect hire to come back in here and kind of resurrect things, get the culture back on track. And I'm excited to see what these guys can do, because Kyron Drones is a moose now. That dude, 235 pounds, you don't want to tackle him up high. So I want to see how much he's developed. You know, can he get the vertical passing game going a little bit more? Because you certainly got a good running attack with Tootin. You got good tight ends, good receivers. The defense was the top 20 defense a year ago, and they went to the portal and got three really, really good guys up front, you know, to be able to compete to replace those other guys. So I think that defensive line is going to be maybe a little better than they even were last year. So it could be, that could bode well for getting pressure and creating more turnovers on defense.
You tackle Kyron Drones on Saturday, you're going to feel it on Sunday. You're going to remember it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And you know that he hasn't been touched. So you talk about a guy ready to go out there like a thoroughbred horse, both he and Tootin, because neither one of those guys have been touched in practice. So they talk about it ready to go now. They are ready to run.
And we'll let you walk on this. You mentioned the defensive line. Kelvin Gilliam, of course, Highland Springs kid from here in Richmond. You get Anais Peebles from Duke. I think there's a lot. Everybody knows APR, obviously. I think there's a lot of anticipation about just how good that group's going to be if they can mesh together.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you know, Gilliam's 6'3", about 295 pounds. I mean, he's a hoss. And, you know, you think about APR, I mean, the 9.5 sacks that he had last year. And when teams have been good around here under J.C. Price, you know, when he was playing back in the day, you had 6 or 7 guys on the defensive line that could play and go in and stay fresh. And they got more than that this year. And I think that's certainly a big factor, because you can rush the passer, go in there 4, 5, 6 plays, get out, switch them to the next group. And, you know, if you can make pressure on the quarterback, and makes it a lot easier for those guys on the back 7 to create some turnovers, to get some tip balls or those type of things. So, yeah, I think that defensive line is going to be fun to watch.
He's Mike Burnup, Tech Talk Live tonight, 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Coach Brent Pry joins the program, Hokie football, on Saturday right here in your home of the Hokies in Richmond. Mike, thank you for the time.
You got it, anytime. And glad to be on with you. Appreciate it.
This was fun. We'll do it again sometime for sure, and we'll be listening tonight and on Saturday. I'm fired up for the Hokie season. I know y'all are as well. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. High school football kickoff tonight. Highland Springs, Manchester also means the return of Final Score Friday. Our friend Lane Casadante joins the program. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Reset the board one more time. High school football tonight, game night, under the lights, 1140 WRVA. Gary, Coach Chris, season 31 of high school football. It's an institution, folks. Highland Springs, Manchester, tonight on WRVA. Right here on The Fan, you'll hear Hokies coach Brent Pry on Tech Talk Live. Mike Burnup joined the program a few minutes ago. Appreciate him taking the time. You know, we live in the bubble, And in the bubble, you say, I think people are really excited about Tech football. And so it's good to hear from him. I mean, he's done 42 of these. It's Mike Burnham's 42nd season as the radio guy. To hear him say, yeah, people are more excited than they've been in a long time. You say, okay, there's something to this. I think people are more excited about Tech football than they've been in a long time. Tech Talk Live tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on The Fan You Know, to catch the game, of course, on Saturday. Tonight on WRVA, high school football kickoff. Our next guest knows a thing or two about both scenes. He'll be around tonight. Hopefully he's got his poncho ready just in case. CBS 6 Sports Director Lane Casadante. Lane, good morning.
Michael, happy Thursday. How's everybody?
Happy game night. Highland Springs, Manchester leading off the slate, of course, getting ahead of the holiday weekend as we kick off. What's got you excited here as we get ready for a new season?
I mean, it's just, you know, all these kids have been working. Everybody started at the beginning of the month, and there are so many teams around here locally that have so many kids coming back. A lot of teams were very young last year, and a lot of teams had young offensive lines last year. I can't tell you how many teams just on the north side of the river that, you know, coaches will tell me, oh, we got four starters back on the O-line. We got five starters back on the O-line. And you know, that's where the magic begins, right? So there's a lot of optimism from a lot of programs, and it all gets started a little bit after 7 o'clock tonight, weather permitting.
Weather permitting, our favorite phrase. Highland Springs, Manchester, Midlothian, Monacan, Cosby, Thomasdale. I'll shout out Deep Run Mechanicsville as well, Douglas Freeman Atlee. We got a loaded schedule, but we'll shout out the private schools as well. Trinity and Benedictine both feel very good coming into the season too, I know.
Yeah, and they have settled the last three Division I independent school titles, state titles between them the last, you know, the last 3 years, and it usually will come down to those two. Benedictine actually has a very tough schedule this year that includes Life Christian for the first time. Life Christian, the private school down in Chesterfield, has joined the VISAA this year for the first time. And Trinity, you know, Sam Mickens, the job that he does over there, his work precedes itself. So they're going to be good. They've both sent a number of kids on to play on Saturdays. So, you know, you expect nothing less from them year in and year out.
It's Life Christian had Charles Scott as a coach. He left. He's at Huguenot now, another team to watch for, obviously, this year. Seems like everywhere he goes, he finds success.
And they have 19 starters back, as well as a transfer at quarterback. Linwood Johnson, who started most of the year last year at Verina, has transferred over to Huguenot. Missed a couple of games last year with a concussion, but he will lead the Falcons this year. And Nelson Lane, who has started at quarterback the last 2 years at James River, is now at Highland Springs. So a couple of new old faces in new places this year, even at the high school level.
Well, you got transfer portal talk even in high school. No, it's still rare, of course, and you got me fired up. High school football starts tonight. Now, do we get the full final score Friday tonight? How does that work on CBS 6?
No, not tonight. We still have to keep the namesake there. So Sean Robertson and I will kick off our 30th season tomorrow night, but we will have a number of people out getting tonight's games. There's a handful of games tomorrow, so we're going to try to cram well over a dozen games worth of highlights into our show tomorrow night to kick off our 30th season.
What was it Chris Berman did? Fastest 3 minutes in sports. Lane Casadante is coming for the crown tomorrow.
They give us a little more than 3 minutes, but yeah, it's, you know, we always do that back and forth with, do you want to show more games and fewer highlights to try and get, you know, as many teams as possible in there, or do you want to focus on, you know, as the season goes on, you kind of focus on some of the other, you know, a smaller number of games that actually have more playoff implications, and then you can show them for a little longer, because the time we have doesn't change. It's the same every week, but at least for the first couple of weeks, we try to get to as many sites as possible.
It's the right move, because everybody's a contender tonight. Everybody's 0-0. We'll start this thing fresh. Look forward to another great season of coverage on CBS 6. You know, we're talking college football as well, 2 days away. I mentioned we had Mike Burnup on. He said the excitement's as high as it's been in a pretty long time down there since they were contending for ACC titles. What's your vibe on this Hokies team? And, you know, expectations have been known to trip up many a team along the way. How you feeling about these guys?
Well, I think one of the things that gets the fans excited is that they know all the names that are coming back, right? They know the starters, and they remember watching them from last year, 22 starters back from last year's team. And you don't see that in the age of the transfer portal and NIL. So it speaks to the culture that Brent Pry is trying to reestablish down in Blacksburg. Kids want to be a part of it. And then you look at, you know, they finished the season last year winning three of their last four, but averaging 42, 43 points a game in those last four. And it's really when Kyron Drones started to really understand the offense and pick up on that. And they feel like they can pick up right where they left off last year, you know, in doing that. So Vanderbilt will find out noon on Saturday.
Yes, we will. And we'll find out a little something down in Charlottesville as well. Anthony Calandria back for another year, played the six games, was a turnover machine, we'll call it what it is, five fumbles, nine interceptions in six games. He's worked on his ball control, obviously a huge season for Tony Elliott to show improvement in year three. And on the other side of the ball, we got ourselves, or the other side of the field, got ourselves a quarterback competition at UR between Kyle Wickersham and Cam Coleman. So we got storylines galore on Saturday in Charlottesville.
Yeah, and I think Calandria for UVA, I think every time he was in the game last year, you know, for good or bad, you wanted to watch him.
Yep.
I think he brought a spark to the offense, and I think he brought, you know, a sense of excitement. And, you know, obviously he lives on the edge with all those turnovers, and you're never quite sure what he's going to do with it. But I thought that last year the offense had a little more energy when he was in there. And as for the Spiders, Russ Huseman, again, yesterday, we asked him, but he declined to name a starter. He said, well, we'll see who runs out there first. he says that both players already know what the decision is, but they're not making it public. Although Cam Coleman had a very cryptic post either on X or on Instagram the other day that just, all it was the definition of the word grit. Yeah, I don't know if you want to read into that, but both of them are going to play this year. They both played last year. Whether they both play Saturday or not remains to be seen. Huseman would like to go with one guy as his primary quarterback. He's not necessarily a fan of shuffling them in and out as part of the regular offensive game plan. So I tend to think it might be Wickersham under center on Saturday, but again, we'll see when the offense takes the field.
Must be social media season. We got Lane reading between the lines. What are we here for if not quarterback drama this time of year?
Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes you think, well, do we make too much out of this? Maybe, but it's become the most important position on the field. Even, you know, more so than the, you know, a pitcher, they say a pitcher can change momentum in baseball from one day to the next, but a quarterback, you know, he touches the ball every single play. So it's become the most important position in that sport, and that's why people can get so fixated on it.
They also say you should be able to beat the Nats more than once in a three-game series, Lane, but here we are.
Well, listen, the Yankees improved their versatility by showing they can beat anybody and they can lose to anybody as well. So this is they're incredibly varied.
It's going to be a wild end of the season. I'm loving both the baseball races in the East and the West. Going to be a ton of fun. One more for you, Lane. The Richmond Kickers tonight debut their new video board. We got to look at it. I think you've been out there. That's a game changer for them. They're going to have some fun with that.
It's over 60 feet wide and over three stories high. And it yesterday during practice, somebody testing it out put the FIFA video game up there and was playing it during practice.
Yes.
And everything stopped. All the players turned around and just stared at it. And it did not necessarily make Coach Darren Sawatsky all that happy, but it grabs your attention as soon as you walk in. I believe they wouldn't give us the dollar amount, but we think it's right in the neighborhood of $1 million, maybe just shy of that. But the Kickers overall have put over $4 million into City Stadium in the last 4 years. So that's their home. They're not going anywhere. They want to make the fan experience as great as possible over there. It is impressive. When you walk in, it catches your attention right away for, you know, being as high-tech as it gets in the middle of a century-old facility.
We have weathered the long, hard summer, and we finally have things to talk about. Final Score Friday returns tomorrow night, 30th season. I'm fired up for you, Lane. Looking forward to it, and I'll be excited to have you on next week.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Off he goes. Let's talk more Tech football. Let's do it on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic. What is up? Thursday morning, Nitro Cross tickets coming your way. If you continue to listen, Taylor Heinicke got traded yesterday. Our guy, Taylor Heinicke, we're building to something here. Heinicke got traded to the Chargers, where he'll be a backup quarterback for Justin Herbert. Taylor Heinicke, of course, former Old Dominion quarterback. He was traded to the Chargers. The tight end for the Chargers is Stone Smart. Stone is a former Old Dominion quarterback. So we could have a scenario where an Old Dominion quarterback throws a touchdown pass to an Old Dominion quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers this football season. Wouldn't be a great scenario for the Chargers. It would mean that injuries and other things happen along the way. But it could happen, and that's exciting as well. Baseball last night. Look, the big thing that happened in baseball last night is that Shohei Ohtani's dog threw out the first pitch in L.A. I mean, that's your is there anything this guy can't do? Walk-off grand slam to join the 40-40 club, and his dog throws out the first pitch. He's fun to watch. He's going to be fun to watch in the playoffs. Speaking of fun to watch, Dylan Cruz made his debut with the Nationals this week. Keep your expectations tempered. They're playing the Yankees. Don't keep your expectations tempered. He went yard. Let's hear it.
And the pitch swung on it high in the air to left field. Verdugo going back. Still back to the warning track, to the wall, and it is gone! Goodbye! First in the major leagues for Dylan Cruz.
Charlie's loving it. Sure, Dave's loving it in the booth. Nats fans loving it. 5-2, Nats beat the Yankees. That's a series win if you're keeping score. 2-1, Nats take care of business against the New York Yankees. Do a huge favor to the Baltimore Orioles in the process, who are fighting their own fights. They were out there in L.A. The Dodgers jumped on them early and often. Here is the clip from L.A.
Another 2-2 pitch to Teoscar Hernandez. And Hernandez hits one hard, left field and deep, and way, way out of here. Teoscar Hernandez launches a go-ahead home run halfway up the pavilion in left field.
All right, Dodgers 6-0-4, so they don't gain any ground on the Yankees, but they don't lose any either, which you would have expected at the start of the week for sure. We're keeping an eye on the Braves, who are fighting everybody off for that wild card spot. Tough series with the Twins, but they were able to steal one yesterday in Minneapolis.
1-0 to Williams, and a fly ball to deep left field. Margot spinning around back to the warning track, and it's off his glove and rolling free in to score Arcia. Motoring for the plate, Murphy. Two runs across, and Luke Williams has a big 2-RBI double, his second double of the game. And it's now 5-1 Braves in the 7th.
Braves taking care of business, and the Phillies hosting the Astros, another big series. We've had some good series happening this week. Astros-Phillies, great matchup. A bit of a lopsided result. Yordan Alvarez homered, then he homered again. Then he came back up to the plate in the 8th.
Here's Alvarez. He has 2 homers today, and he smashes this one pretty deep to center. Marsh is racing back at the wall. See you later! A 3-homer game for Yordan Alvarez as he goes back-to-back with McCormick, and the Astros' lead is 10-0.
All right, time to reset the board. Weekend series coming, and they're going to be some fun ones, too. The O's headed to L.A. to play the Dodgers. Orioles-Dodgers, this is about as good a late-season matchup as you can get. Orioles 77 wins, Dodgers 79 wins. Both teams still playing to win their division to get that bye. The Dodgers one game in front of the Phillies. The Phillies hosting the Braves, so they're five up on the Braves. We said last time around, yeah, the Braves could steal a couple, could make some noise. They're running out of time to do that. Their trip to Philly this weekend would certainly be one good opportunity, but it'll probably take three out of four to make some noise there, make that a contest going in. And we need to give a special nod to our friends, the Chicago White Sox, who are the worst team in baseball, who are a punchline and a laughingstock, and who have reached 100 losses already. As we watch these teams, you know, the Dodgers will get to 100 wins, probably, maybe. It's going to be hard for them, you know, in that schedule down the stretch. It's possible we end up without a 100-win team this season in baseball because there's so many good teams. And we have a 100-loss team, and August isn't even over yet. Haven't even made the September call-ups. Chicago White Sox, 31 wins, 103 losses. I don't even know how you show your face at the ballpark every
That's
day.
That's rough.
At that point, just call up the AAA team. Call up the Squirrels. Let them play as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's sneak in a little Flying Squirrels update. You know the drill. They're in Erie. You know how it went.
Richmond, PA. Hey, hey, have fun, go nuts. Hey.
Yeah, it's Erie's a tough one. Squirrels struggles continue. 3-1 loss. Squirrels held to three hits. They are now 0-8 in Erie this season. Ban Erie. Promote them. They can go play for the White Sox. We'll send the Squirrels to Chicago to play at Comiskey. John Michael Bertrand took the loss. He's 6-8 this season. The Squirrels and Seawolves play tonight. A reminder, Squirrels baseball will be joined in progress following Tech Talk Live, 7 o'clock. Mike Burnup will talk more about that with us here in about 36 minutes. 11 o'clock, we'll bring on Mike Burnup, talk all things football and the return of Tech Talk Live tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on The Fan. Get back here. Brent Pry is their special guest. He is the coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies, taking his boys down to Nashville, two-stepping down Broadway this weekend to play the Vanderbilt Commodores. A reminder, your last chance to see the Flying Squirrels this season is next week, Tuesday through Sunday. Homestand, get your tickets now. We'll have Parney on tomorrow for Parney Time. We're confirmed there. Parney doesn't miss during football season because Parney likes to give out the picks, and you know he's going to take a victory lap because he told me Georgia Tech's going to get Florida State. What do you know? Georgia Tech got Florida State. Parney's 1-0. The bank of Parney is open. He'll make his picks tomorrow. I'll make my picks tomorrow. I'll make my pick right now. I think Deion survives the challenge tonight. I think that is a better roster, and I think you look at last year when they were good early in the season, even though it was a lighter schedule. I think that's going to be a fun game, though, against North Dakota State, who, look, they've won six games against FBS teams. They're no stranger to winning these games. This is the biggest one. ESPN Thursday night kickoff weekend. They know what it would mean to get this one and to give Deion a loss in his first game of season number two with two first round picks on that roster, or at least presumed first round picks. Travis Hunter will be a first rounder for sure. Shedeur Sanders, there's a lot of action on him being the number one overall pick. I don't see that at all, but he's talented. He's a first rounder for sure. It's certainly a future NFL player and probably a future NFL first round. You got two of them on that team. They need to take care of business tonight. It's going to be a fun opener. Also got, you heard, we got all sorts of, you know, everybody starting. We got William and Mary VMI kicking off our state slate tonight. And, of course, High school football returns. They'll be on WRVA tonight. The Mothership, 1140 WRVA, Highland Springs, Manchester. I've consulted with the authorities who do these things. So we have our friend who always gives us the line for high school football, but then somebody else put a line up yesterday, too. We'll leave the names nameless. But two authorities on the scene. One of them says Highland Springs by 27.5. The other one says Highland Springs by 20.5. That's a big swing. Always shop the lines before you place your bets. For entertainment purposes only, as we say. Manchester coaching change, Highland Springs quarterback change, and a pretty big roster change. I think Highland Springs, though, is loaded again. They're number one in the CBS 6, 9, 10, the fan coaches poll, and with good reason. We'll talk with Lane Casadane of CBS 6, 11:15. When we come back, though, Deshaun Watson had his contract restructured. I'm still wrapping my head around these numbers. You will be, too, when we share them. Russell Wilson named QB1 in Pittsburgh. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. New England last in the barn here announcing their starting quarterbacks. We got 32 of them now. Injuries pending, of course, but it is Jacoby Brissett getting the nod over Drake May. That's only interesting because Gerard Mayo, the coach there, said the other day Drake May's playing better than Jacoby Brissett. We all understand why he's doing this, though. You throw in the kid to the wolves. That offensive line, I think everybody saw the clips. That preseason game against the Commanders JV squad, they're getting worked. That could turn ugly. They got Cincinnati in week one. I feel a little bit for Jacoby Brissett. I mean, it's a good opportunity for him to be an NFL starter. That's not a roster ready to support an NFL team, and Jacoby had a little shoulder soreness after he was hit by KJ Henry. He got knocked out of the game by a guy who got cut from the Commanders 2 days later. That's what we're working with there in New England on the offensive line. They got to get it together, and they got to do that quickly. Otherwise, Drake May's going to be in here pretty soon before you know it. Bad situation there where you got the rookie quarterback, you don't have the infrastructure. And I've been yelling that about, you know, everything happening here with Jaden Daniels. You don't have a good enough offensive line to fully support a rookie quarterback. But we're off. We're running. You know the drill. He'll be under center. They're going to Tampa. We're 9 days away, 10 days away. We're 10 days away, 9 days away from our second college football Saturday, 2 days away from our first college football Saturday, 10 days away from the Commanders opener, 1 week away from the NFL opener, Chiefs-Ravens, which I think will also be a fun game. All right, the Browns, they're all in. They're good enough to be all in. They're correct in being all in. That defense is Super Bowl good. They just haven't figured out the offense, as evidenced by the fact that Joe Flacco was doing about as well as anybody's done there recently. Brought Jameis Winston in this offseason. Now, I'm not suggesting Jameis Winston's here to win Super Bowls. He did win a natty in college. But he got outplayed by Dorian Thompson-Robinson, their second-year quarterback during training camp. So Dorian Thompson-Robinson is going to be your number two there. All of that matters because they made that trade with the Texans a few years ago for Deshaun Watson. At the time, Deshaun Watson was one of the bright young stars of the league. He had his legal troubles. He had the allegations. He ends up in Cleveland. They gave him a guaranteed contract that was... Even Kirk Cousins blushed when he saw those numbers. So in the NFL, the salary cap doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter because you can always restructure, right? That's what you always hear. So Deshaun Watson is under contract for 2 more years, this year and then 2 more after this. That's all guaranteed. He's getting that money. At any point, they can take the money he's owed this year and convert it into a bonus instead of a salary. He still gets the money, but what happens is for salary cap purposes, bonuses are spread out over the length of the contract, not just this year's team. So his $60 million for this year has been converted to a bonus, which means Only $20 million of it is against the cap this year. For the next 2 years, his number goes up and is now $72.9 million against the salary cap, which would be the highest cap hit ever of any player by a full $13 million if that comes to fruition. They may do it again next year. The logic here is, we got a team that can win the Super Bowl. We got to go all in. We'll figure the rest out later. The Buccaneers did that, of course, with Tom Brady. That's what sparked, you know, the Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers movement, where they both saw what the Bucs did for Brady, where they said, we're fine not being good in 2025 to have Tom Brady now. And they all said, we need that. Aaron Rodgers went to the Packers. I want that. Russell Wilson went to the Seahawks. Yeah, I want that. How come you're not mortgaging our future for me? Both those teams are smart enough to say, because we're going to have football in those seasons, and we're not just conceding those seasons. Like, it was a smart move for Tampa, a team that's always struggling to find a fan base, to bring Tom Brady in. The boost they got from winning the Super Bowl will more than cover the payments they eventually have to make on that. The Packers are going to play competitive football every year. They can't do that. Cleveland's doing that now. Cleveland has now set up a scenario where Deshaun Watson is $70 million against the cap next year. Also, they can bring in more talent this year. That's insane to me, because we haven't seen any evidence that Deshaun Watson is good. He's been bad since he got to Cleveland. He had the year and a half away from the game, and I think, you know, you make the assumptions he'll be right where he left off. He hasn't been, and the reports out of training camp or that he hasn't looked great at training camp either. And so if you're the Browns, you're in a division with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They're pretty good. You're in a division with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, one game away from the Super Bowl last year, one half away from the Super Bowl last year, one ridiculously called offensive game away from the Super Bowl last year. You're pushing your chips in. You could finish third in that division. You could finish fourth in that division if Russell Wilson catches fire. I'm increasingly skeptical on that, but that's a good football team. You push your chips in and you don't win, you got a reckoning coming, and you don't have anything to show for it. A dangerous game they are playing out there in Cleveland. I mentioned Russell Wilson. He is your QB1 in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, the pride of William and Mary, did talk about it. Look, Russ was, what was the phrase that they used the other day? Pole position. He had pole position on being the starting quarterback. He showed up. The default here is Russ is going to start week one. Somehow he made it a competition. But Mike Tomlin, team player, says, no, I thought long and hard about this. I just had two really good options.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
Well, here's the thing. This is the guy who once had to pick between Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. They both look great. Yeah, that's a good decision to have relative to what they did last year. And they still won 9 games with that quarterback carousel last year. Russ is in. Schedule's good. The Steelers' hard games are back loaded. He'll get a chance early. The defense is certainly going to give him a chance. They open in Atlanta against the Falcons. I think that becomes a fun game. Broncos, Steelers, Colts, your next three. 4-0, not out of sight there. I think 3-1 is going to be the expectation for Russell Wilson out of the gate. And then you're drinking the Kool-Aid. Here's what I know about the NFL. I remember the RG3 season. And that is a goofy dude, a corny dude. But when they were winning football games every week, everybody was wearing the socks and all in with the guy. Now, once they started to lose, everybody's like, this dude, I don't know what's going on with this dude. Like, you turn quickly. You don't buy yourself the goodwill that, you know, some of the quarterbacks, they are loved by their team. And when they have struggles, hey, we're going to stick with our guy. We're going to get our guy right. We believe in him. Some quarterbacks, they start struggling. We got to get this dude out of here. I think it's pretty clear which camp Russ is in here in Pittsburgh. I think we've got a big enough sample size. Once he struggles, they're going to be calling for Justin Fields. Not they, the fans. They, the players. They, the people inside the building who you only get a few NFL seasons. Average NFL career, 4 years. It's four cracks at winning this thing. You can't waste any of them. It's all on Russ now. He can do it. 3-1, 4-0. I think both are very doable for the Steelers out of the gate before they play the Cowboys in what will be a fun game. Obviously, two of the NFL's marquee franchises there. We'll finish this off with CeeDee Lamb. Got his deal, reported to work. Him and Jerry Jones, I mean, if that's not an episode of CNBC's Mad Money, I don't know what is. Here's CeeDee Lamb on how the deal got done.
We had a businessman conversation. We just had to clear the room. Everything is behind us. I'm not worried about nothing. We got what we needed to get done, and now it's time for me to go ball.
Time for me to go ball? Me and Jerry had a businessman conversation. Love to know where Jerry's businessman conversations take place. That's got to be a treat. Jerry Jones and CeeDee Lamb at a negotiating table having a businessman conversation, talking, you know, pork futures, oil, you know, all the things people discuss in businessman conversations. Let's give away some Nitrocross before we get out of here. Can we rev that up real quick? Nitrocross is the next evolution of motocross. It is from the brain of Travis Pastrana. He's, of course, an X Games legend. He is bringing it to Richmond Raceway. Their season opens not this weekend, but next weekend. We want to send you out there Sunday, September 8th. I got two tickets to go see Nitrocross at Richmond Raceway on Sunday, September 8th. They're building a whole track out there for the cars to jump and fly and do the things that they do. You can go see it. Just be the first caller right now, 833-804-0910. Let me give you that number. Rev up that number one more time, 833-804-0910. We're out of here. We're back in a second and tell you how I feel about the Washington Commanders not bringing Martavis Bryant back. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Pimpy on the mic. Thursday morning. Game day morning. All the games tonight. Kickers tonight. They're going to debut their new video board. Is large. That's what you need to know if you head out to City Stadium. Big old video board. Excited to see how that enhances their fan experience. High school football kicks off tonight. Highland Springs, Manchester on 1140 WRVA. Looking forward to that. Gary Hess and Coach Chris. Flying Squirrels tonight in Erie. That'll happen. Maybe they'll win. They're 0-8 so far this season in Erie, coming back home next weekend. National college football tonight. Colorado against North Dakota State. Good opener there. Deion Sanders getting a test early as he's running his mouth already. New season has begun. New season of what's Deion doing today is on. We'll see. Got to survive North Dakota State. Going to keep staying relevant in this college football world. And tonight, the season premiere of Tech Talk Live from McLean's at First and Main in Blacksburg, if you happen to be in the neighborhood, 7 to 8 p.m. Head coach Brent Pry joins the guys for Tech Talk Live tonight. Get you ready for their opener, which is now 49 hours away. If you're keeping score, the countdown is on to Virginia Tech at Vandy. Highly anticipated season. We can't do that with the Commanders anymore. We've done it too many times. It's a show me, don't tell me situation now over there. JMU has highly anticipated seasons. This is the most highly anticipated Tech season in quite some time. I think people sense something special could be brewing. We're going to bring on Mike Burnup in 10 minutes. He will be part of Tech Talk Live tonight. But first, he will be joining our radio program to get us hyped for Virginia Tech football. I'll say what I've said all week, what I've said all month. Get to 4-0. Let the chips fall where they may. Once you get to 4-0, handle this game, which is not a gimme. You got Vandy, you got a transfer quarterback. He's got some moves. He's got some speed. There are unknowns. Handle this game. revenge tour time. You got Marshall, Rutgers, Old Dominion. Get your revenge. You're better than all three of those teams. You'd be favored in all three of those games. Get to 4-0. Let the chips fall where they may. You got Friday night in Miami. That's a good team. You're going out west to play Stanford. Anything could happen. You get to 4-2. You're still fine. But I think these first four are critical for the Hokies. We'll also bring Lane Casadante on in about half an hour, 11:15. He joins the program. He'll weigh in on that. High school football, the return of Final Score Friday on CBS 6, one of my favorite traditions. They do a great job, Lane and Sean, and they are back at it tonight. Hopefully they've got their ponchos ready. Gary Hess just dropped by, so we're still on rain watch tonight. Hopefully everything goes off smoothly, get a great start to the high school football season before we turn our attention to the pros tomorrow. I mentioned cut day in Washington, waiver day in Washington. I opened the show with it, grabbed the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. It's 910 The Fan. It's MP on the mic. You can search for all those things. You can play it live. You can play it rewound. Adam Peters has my full 100% trust, period. That's why I was dipping my toe lightly into the world of critique this morning. He's got my full trust, but I'm just not sure what the Commanders did yesterday. I trust him. I'd rather have him running the team than a Twitter poll, but I'm siding with the Twitter poll. They don't make any waiver claims despite being number two in the order, which hopefully they're not ever going to be again under Adam Peters. You know, this is your chance to do that, chance to build the team. Carolina put in five. New England put in four. Big old Zippo for our friends, the Commanders. They trade John Ridgeway, a seventh for a sixth pick swap. Let KJ Henry walk. He gets claimed. Sign Noah Brown from the Texans. I like that. We were wondering who the wide receiver would be. And you go from Brown to Brown. Diami Brown heads to the sideline. Noah Brown taps in. I like that move. Martavis Bryant, not even on the practice squad. That was an interesting one to me. Had a good preseason, had some size. I didn't think when I saw him, like, wow, this guy's recaptured his old form. But I thought, all right, there's something they need, and he's a guy doing it. Sure feels like it would make a lot of sense to keep him hanging around. And you don't know what those discussions were like. Maybe he didn't want a part of it. Maybe he didn't want any part of that. I don't know. What I know is it feels like the team didn't get substantially better yesterday. And I was hoping the team would get substantially better yesterday. Not like change your expectations better, but in a build for the future way. And hey, this is, you were so bad last year. You get this advantage. You get a chance to reload. You get a chance to be that first team in the order. That stuff matters. Play the long-term game. But again, in Adam Peters, we trust around here. And certainly not going to see me bad-mouthing the general manager of the Washington Commanders. One of only two guys to hold that title in the last 25 years, which is telling a little bit of how we got there. The other guy, he was an admitted alcoholic when he joined the team. Turned out Ashburn was not the best environment for that. Left, there was a lawsuit, there was litigation, there was arbitration, there was all the things. What I'm saying is, I've been waiting for Adam Peters for a long time, and I'm not going to come on this show and put Adam Peters on blast because I would have handled a cut down day differently. He can do what he wants to do. He got the right quarterback. I love the Jaden Daniels hype because I think it's real. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. I love what they've done every day during training camp, bringing guys in. They had a kicker situation. They fixed the kicker situation. They got a pick swap for John Ridgeway. They're doing the little things that matter along the way. And so hopefully he knows what's going on. We're going to turn our attention back to college football in hour number two. I mentioned Deion and the Buffs. Tonight, opening up week one, of course, we have so much local action. We'll tell you all about it. We're going to bring on Mike Burnup on the other side of the break. He is the host co-host of Tech Talk Live. which will be tonight. McLean's first in Maine Blacksburg. He's also on this program in just a moment. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.